Right, everybody, God bless. You know, right over here in our hallway and in a couple of other rooms in our house, we have a these things called a combination fire detector and carbon monoxide alarms. Maybe you have those in your home. And if not, maybe you should get them. But anyway, they're made by a company called First Alert. And its purpose is to alert you to any potentially dangerous or hazardous situation that you may not be aware of in your home otherwise. So if something's going on and it's the middle of the night, you could be lifted out of your bed 3 feet high with this huge piercing alarm sound, right? And hopefully it's not the batteries going out on the fire alarm. We've all heard that, right? But anyway, it's designed to notify you and, you know, quite possibly even save lives. Well, here's another one. Have you ever received an Amber Alert? That's a mass communication to alert people to the fact that some child has gone missing and to be on the lookout, commonly called a BOLO, for a particular individual or a particular vehicle. The alert is designed to notify others that there is a potentially dangerous situation occurring, and it's also designed to inform and maybe even save lives. Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden you're getting this alert on your cell phone and you wonder, how did they get my number? Well, there is some type of mass communication network out there specifically designed to send emergency messages to people, and it works very effectively, and it communicates to you that there's something that you need to be aware of. And maybe if there's a tornado or an earthquake or some other type of emergency situation, you know, you could get informed that way. Well, you know what? God has some instruction about a similar topic. And so I've entitled this morning's teaching, Be on the Lookout. Mm-hmm. Let's put out a BOLO. Okay? Yeah, it's a common term when you watch police dramas and this sort of thing. Have you ever put out a BOLO on this person? That means be on the lookout. We used to call them an APB, right? All Points Bulletin. I've noticed the language has shifted now. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, maybe you get a chance to turn there. And I'll read here with you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give you just a moment. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And so here you have instruction from God, and Paul is working with the church here, and instructing them to be self-controlled, or another way of saying that is sober. And that's what it originally meant, is to be sober. It's kind of used figuratively in the New Testament, and here's a definition, is to be free from every form of mental and spiritual drunkenness, from excess, passion, rashness, confusion, or etc. It means to be well-balanced and self-controlled, to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, dispassionate, and circumspect. Isn't that interesting? But that's the framework. And I think about the word temperance. I believe that's a word in the fruit of the Spirit. That's something, and I understand that the word means exercise power from within. It's the word in kratos. Kratos is that, like, punching of a boxer. But when you exercise that strength and power from within, then you get these qualities. You're calm and collected. You're temperate. You're dispassionate. You're circumspect. And Jesus used the context of his coming to encourage and warn his disciples against what I call reckless extravagance or wastefulness in the use of resources. So maybe look at Matthew 24, start in verse 48. These are two parables. We'll just kind of talk about them briefly. And remember, the title is called Be on the Lookout. Be on the Lookout. There's plenty of exhortations and encouragements and sections of the Word that talk about us needing to be alert, being watchful, being awake, not being asleep at the switch, so to speak. Matthew 24, 48 says, But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, My master is staying away a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Good to know in our administration that it's grace, and that we've already been judged righteous and been found acquitted of any previous sins and things that have gone on. But still, to be mindful, to be aware, to be faithful stewards of that which has been entrusted to us. And we know he's coming back. And it should cause us to be mindful and watchful of our behavior. And the way we think. You know, Paul also commands the believers to be alert, to stay awake, to watch. And the basic meaning literally means to stay awake or be watchful. Or to be in constant readiness, to be on the alert. You might say, keep your eyes open. Or be vigilant. Now, Jesus used a lot of parables in his teaching style. And he used a couple about the last days, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the watchful servant. And, you know, I think in our understanding that, you know, the things that he talked about in regards to the end times, we have more further enlightenment about the context in which he's saying that and to whom he's saying it. But that's a topic for another day. But in Matthew 25:5, it says, The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I'll just read through a couple of these. Mark 13, Be on guard, be alert. You don't know when that time will come. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. How about some of the records in the New Testament epistles? 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Remember, we used to hear something that when something foreign or whatever would come sort of into our environment, we could train our minds to say, on guard, on guard, because we would recognize it as not being the truth. Maybe it was a subtle lie. Maybe it was a direct lie. But we could say in our minds and hearts, on guard, and then replace that type of thinking, those type of thoughts, behaviors, with the word. How about Ephesians 6:18? Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Colossians 4:2, I'm moving right here real quick. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So, even unless you have really quick fingers. But to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, being thankful. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. I'm sitting right here with a gentleman who has an advanced degree in martial art. And he's looking at me like he knows what I'm talking about, because the martial arts do teach in a practical sense some of the things about controlling yourself. Because if you get in an altercation, you want to control your adrenal response and your reactions and this sort of thing. Same thing true spiritually in many cases, because the enemy, circumstances, situations, we could spin out and spaz out about in all different directions. But God encourages us, be alert, be on guard, be watchful, and then exercise the control that's needed in a given situation. 1 Peter 4:7, here's another good one. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can do one thing. Pray. Pray. Because the disturbance of the enemy gets us fearful and paralyzed and anxious, and somehow, as human beings, we forget to include God in the scenario. And here's a great one from 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Not paranoid, on guard, alert, watchful, spiritually sharp, right? Because here's the old devil, you know, prowling. You ever seen a cat? I talk about one of our dogs that lives here with us. It's so weird. I think he acts like a cat sometimes. But if you ever, you know, Joe and Jeanette, we were just visiting them. They have two cats. Cats are just so slinky or whatever. I don't know what the word is. They're just so mysterious somewhere. They're just like creeping around, real subtle at crawling and like, they got kind of a mind of their own, right? I think the devil is prowling around. He's like waiting and just waiting for an opportunity to pounce. And so we have to be alert. We have to be awake. And that's exactly what it says in Revelation 3:2. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake. So, I guess the question begs to be asked and answered, am I awake spiritually? And so, I think there's instruction in the Word. It's not rocket science. I mean, it's just the awareness many times that God is with us and in us in any given situation. He's not deserted us. And he wants us to be blessed. Yeah, you like that, don't you? Blessed and encouraged all the time. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, I think we read this already. It says, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You know, that sounds like Ephesians. But yeah, you know what? It does say that. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. That's interesting in comparison with Ephesians chapter 6. You even kind of tricked me there for a moment. But does that sound familiar? Faith and love and hope are all mentioned in that one particular verse, and it's not even 1 Corinthians 13, where in verse 13 it says, now remain these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. See, you know, throughout the church epistles, Paul, God, by way of Paul, uses various analogies that suggest equipping itself for a competition, for let's call it a battle. In a similar way, he shares teachings to other churches about what we would call the full armor of God in Ephesians 6, the armor of light. The weapons of righteousness. So this is not an uncommon topic. God is constantly trying to say, stay awake, stay alert, be sharp, you know. And it's going to require something on our part for that to happen. It's going to require some type of positive effort to take a hold of God's resources that are available to us. I could hold out my hand to George with a $100 bill in it, and if he doesn't take it, or I don't think he'd steal it from me, but he wouldn't take it from me, he's not going to benefit from the $100 that I'm offering to him. Does that kind of make sense? Same way spiritually? So it's going to take some type of effort, and many times it's not that much effort. It's just even looking in God's direction, just thinking about the things of God. And boy, what if we verbalize even sometimes the word help, that's maybe all the word that's needed in a given situation. So, like plugging in our smoke detectors, our carbon monoxide detectors, and or receiving alerts about things that are happening or about to happen, I guess my encouragement is to stay plugged in and be prepared. I'll use this. Vicki's mom, bless her heart, she's asleep right now, but many years ago, she lived with her sister in Oklahoma, and they had a family friend who they would call on to do handyman work and that sort of thing. And boy, one day they couldn't get the TV on. And they weren't real resourceful and that sort of thing. They were maybe a little spoiled, maybe a little lazy or whatever. So they would just call him, "Hey, Billy, we can't get the TV on." And so he comes over and looks around. Guess what? TV's unplugged. You know? So what? Plug the TV in. Boom. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Great. That's all we're talking about. Plug in. Plug in and be prepared. So we utilize God's resources, and then with confidence and patience, we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22, 20, and 21, it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And my parting words this morning are, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, too. Amen.
Amen. Amen.